Lakers lose to the Clippers 104-86. Lakers now 31-19 on the season. This loss does now put them in fifth place in the Western Conference, just to kind of show the scope of where the Lakers sit in the NBA standings. Still one more matchup coming up against the Clippers. That's going to be on May 6th. Hopefully by then we get a much better idea what this Lakers team looks like. I'd love to see the Lakers go up against Clippers healthy. I'd love to see them with, you know, obviously all their power, all their strength, and what we've been watching from the Lakers now for the last couple of weeks. LeBron went out 2 weeks ago yesterday, and what we've been watching in that time has basically been a shell of the Lakers. It's one thing not to have Anthony Davis. Obviously, it's a whole nother level. Add LeBron to that mix, and now Andre Drummond as well. So, you know, I see it, listen to the game, obviously watching it on TV as well. What can you really take from a game like this? You can sit back and say, oh, wow, I mean, look at the Clippers. Ball movement's great, and Rajon Rondo, and they hit 50% of their three-pointers, and it's the equivalent of having the Clippers without their three best players playing the Lakers full strength. I mean, so it's really, really incredibly tough to take much from a game like this, and I wouldn't take too much from it if I'm a Laker fan out there, and I'm sure, you know, the Lakers staff, yes, they want to win every game. Yes, their players are competitive. Yes, you got pride, and you want to see your team come out and perform every single night, but there's a reality to this. The reality is the spot that the Lakers are in, you got to play perfect basketball against good teams if you're going to win right now without LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Andre Drummond. Throw in Wesley Matthews as well to the mix. He did not, obviously, play in tonight's game as well. You got to play perfect basketball. Even against these bad teams, teams that are below 500, I'll give you an example. Lakers got on Tuesday coming up, they got the Toronto Raptors. Look at the rest of this week for the Lakers. Toronto, Miami, Brooklyn. And then next week, virtually all playoff teams, New York, Charlotte, Boston, and Utah. The reason why I point that out is there's some games in there where you say to yourself, okay, can we take this game? Maybe a game, maybe there's going to be a team that takes the Lakers lightly. You can kind of look that as some potential. Maybe you surprise a team because they don't come out prepared because they know you don't have your stars with you. They got to play perfect basketball. And getting outscored from the three-point line by 21, being down by 24 during this game, out-rebounded by the Clippers, never having a lead in this game, on top of all the other, you know, as shorthanded as you are, it's just not going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen. There are some positives. I mean, if I'm going to point out a couple positives, I will say that, you know, it's good to see two players that have been consistent. One, just this is what he does. Montrezl Harrell, 19 points in this afternoon's game, along with 6 rebounds. He's 7 of 12 from the field. THT, another 16 points, goes 7 of 14 from the field. I know it's not in a close game. I know it's not in a game where it's the difference between winning and losing, but it's still important to have some of these guys, especially a guy like Talen Horton-Tucker, get the minutes. How many minutes did Talen Horton-Tucker play? Play 26 minutes tonight or this afternoon, and this certainly is one of those games where it's a benefit to him, but the rest of the team collectively, was not good basketball. No flow at all. Kuzma, awful from the field, struggled 2 of 10. Dennis Schroeder went 3 of 12. KCP went 3 of 9. Even Markieff Morris, who started the game off, I want to say 4 of 5, 9 points in the first quarter, ended up with 9 points, 4 of 10. So he struggled as the game progressed as well. I mentioned THT. Before we take a listen to Talen Horton-Tucker, get his thoughts on the game, I will throw out there 877-710-ESPN. Feel free to shoot us a call if you want to talk about this game. Big picture for the Lakers. Lakers dropped to fifth in the NBA standings, if you think that's a big deal. And pretty soon they're going to drop to sixth. Portland just a half game behind the Lakers right now. You could feel free to give us your thoughts. 877-710-ESPN. Here's Talen Horton-Tucker on the Lakers' 104-86 loss to the Clippers.
Hey, THT. Just today, it seemed like the Clippers had a lot of answers for you guys on defense. What were some of the things you guys tried, and where'd you fall short, you think?
I feel like we came out in the second half. We tried to do a little bit, tried to change our, you know, offensive approach, change it up a little bit. But, you know, I feel like, you know, just the Florida game, it just, you know, I feel like today was one of the days for us. So just being able to come out and capitalize on our offensive mistakes is something we got to focus on.
All right, over to Dan.
Hey, Taylor, what was the biggest difference in this game versus the win in Sacramento?
I feel like in Sacramento, we had a little bit more flow. Guys were hitting more shots. Everybody was hitting shots. I feel like it's the NBA is a make or miss league. So I feel like that was pretty much the big difference for us. We could compete a little bit harder. I feel like it comes down to making shots and executing. So.
All right, over to Dave.
Taylor, how do you look at this upcoming five-game road trip? You're going east, and obviously you guys have kind of been up and down recently. Does it feel like an important part of the season?
Yeah, we look at, every game we play now, we just want to look at it as a game that we need. So just being able to come in and have that focus, I feel like will put us over, the top. All we got to do is focus on doing the right things that Coach asks us.
All right, back to Dan.
Are you guys as a group talking at all about the standings? Is that something where are we deep enough in the season now where it's like we're in fifth or we're in fourth? And are you concerned at all with kind of the seeding of heading into the playoffs?
For me personally, I'm not. As a group, we don't hear it too much. We just try to focus on the next game ahead. I feel like we feel like we take care of what we do. The standings, we take care of ourselves. When everybody, the guys that we have out now, we just. Everything comes back into full circle. So,
All right, that's Talen Horne-Tucker right there on the Lakers 104-86 loss to the Clippers. It's kind of funny. He's talking about the standings, and I've spent part of the postgame show so far highlighting that. Okay, this is what happens with this loss, and if Portland wins another one, okay, Lakers might drop to six. How far is Dallas from there? I can definitely see this team paying zero attention to the standings because there's nothing they can do. There's absolutely nothing they can do about their predicament and their situation. That's the reality. The reality is if the Lakers were healthy and all of a sudden they're fallen out of control in the Western Conference standings, yeah, of course that's going to be an issue. Of course we're all going to be having that conversation. What's wrong with the Lakers? How come they can't win and they're healthy? But we know why they're not winning now. Can you have some occasional wins here and there? Yes. Are you depending on that many wins over this stretch here in the month of April if Anthony Davis and LeBron James aren't there? Probably not. One of the things I mentioned when the Lakers signed Andre Drummond, it was a week ago today that it was officially became a Laker. And one of the things I spent some time on was how I thought Andre Drummond in the short term, I thought was going to be a huge benefit for the Lakers, where now you have legitimate chances. Those games that you thought we don't have a chance to win, maybe now Andre Drummond, you're in the game in the fourth quarter. Or games that you thought were 50-50, now it leans towards Lakers' advantage because of Andre Drummond. Or the games you know you're supposed to have should be a lock now because Drummond is there. Well, then Drummond plays 14 minutes, is out, obviously missed the last two games for the Lakers, and the next one in Toronto, not in Toronto, but first the Raptors, it's going to be in Tampa. That's going to be the next question. Okay, is he going to be a part of that game? If not that game, how about Miami? How about Brooklyn? We'll just kind of keep playing this game until Drummond comes back. But once Drummond does come back and he feels 100% healthy again, maybe he can help be the savior in the short term of being in games like this that it's obviously incredibly tough to be into when you're as shorthanded as the Lakers are. All right, 104-86, the final, Clippers over the Lakers. When we come back, we'll get a chance to hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. I know we got a bunch of callers that want to talk about the game, so 877-710-ESPN. We'll take some of your phone calls as well. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Batum saves it from going out of bounds. Patrick Patterson takes it to the rim. It's blocked by Talen Horton-Tucker. KCP grabs it. Here comes Kuzma. Back to Caruso. Down the middle to Harrell. Puts it up and in. 75-55. Lakers down by 20.
Those were the two best players for the Lakers in this afternoon's game. Montrezl Harrell and Talen Horton-Tucker. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance. And only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adrianas Insurance. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers lose 104-86, the final score. I think there's a couple things here to kind of look at it from a small picture and a big picture for the Lakers. Small picture is, yes, another loss to the Clippers. Big picture, it won't mean much because until the Lakers get healthy and get all their players back, this is probably how it's going to be against elite teams like this. When I say elite, what I'm referring to is there's 5-6 teams in both conferences that think they have a chance to come out of the West and the East. Clippers are one of those teams. You'll have some matchups where you'll be in games, but if Clippers, a team like the Clippers, they're interested, they're paying attention, they're not taking their opponent for granted, then they'll obviously find a way to win. Let me squeeze in one quick call before we go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Jeremiah listening on the ESPN app in Sacramento. What's going on, Jeremiah?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Jeremiah? All right, we lost Jeremiah. Let's let's go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Let's get his thoughts on the game. I do think in a game like this, I always have a curiosity to get coaches' opinion, perspective. Did he like the energy? Did he like the way the team was playing? Was this just one of those games that they're not hitting shots? Here's Lakers coach Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, what'd you make of the offensive struggles tonight? What'd you think, or today? What'd you think was the biggest thing?
Yeah, credit to Clippers defense. You know, they got up into us and we didn't handle our pressure well enough at all. And when we did, we had a tough shooting night. Tough shooting night at the rim. Missed 9 layups, 21 shots in the paint. And you know, tough shooting night at the three-point line as well. So, you know, we just got to play through their, you know, their pressure and physicality more, you know, better than we did tonight. We'll get back to the drawing board tomorrow, look at the film, and improve for next game.
Frank, what's the outlook as you now go on this 5-game trip, longest one in a bit? What are the things that you think you guys have to bring together collectively to get what you want out of it?
Well, we got to play with the poise and composure that we played with in Sacramento offensively. And, you know, the shots get a little more easy, a little more confident, and, you know, continue to defend. We defended well enough to win a game tonight, today, I should say. But we just got to improve with our offensive execution.
Kyle.
Hey, Frank, you know, you just have so many guys playing bigger minutes, bigger roles than they're used to, especially since you were saying earlier it might be a while before guys like AD and Bron get back. Are there strategies you think of to try and avoid giving those guys some burnout and maybe easing some of the mental fatigue they might be feeling?
No, there's no excuses here. The guys that are playing have what it takes to get the job done. It's that simple.
Dave?
Frank, how do you look at this upcoming road trip? I know you like to stay in the moment, and you're going to have the first game of the road trip and maybe not assess it all 5 in a row, but where you guys stand kind of being up and down and being undermanned and heading out the road for a while?
Yeah, just one game at a time. We got to beat the Raptors. You know, that's what it comes down to. We'll do our work. We'll compete and see what happened in this game, break down the film, improve from it, and put together a plan to beat the Raptors and take it one game at a time.
Dan Wojcicki. Hey, Frank. Are you guys to the point now where you're looking at standings and trying to figure out, and I know it's 20 games left, 20-some-odd games left, but looking at that and then also kind of looking at the guys you don't have, how independent are those two things, I guess, moving forward, the standings and any decisions in relation to those guys?
Yeah, we're really staying in the moment. I mean, I know we had an opportunity to pass the Clippers with a win today. Disappointed we didn't get that done. But other than that, we're not looking at standings at all. Just looking at winning the next game.
All right, let's take one more. Let's go to Leonardo.
Coach, it's Leonardo Torres from Peru. Hope you're well. Coach, what are your thoughts on Marc Gasol? What role will he play on the team?
Yeah, Mark's a winner. And, you know, he fits what we're trying to do. He's dominating on the defensive end and offensively with his passing. And we got a lot of guys that can score the basketball. So his ability to facilitate offensively is something that's really helped us have success on the floor.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. You know, it's funny, he says something right there. Lakers lose 104-86. He mentioned something about Lakers having a chance, if they had won tonight's or this afternoon's game, they'd have a chance to surpass the Clippers for third place in the Western Conference. Kind of crazy that they're even that close. And I know I've spent some time talking about it from a standings perspective, but Lakers are going to keep falling. That's just the reality of the situation, what the schedule looks like, and the injuries. But what's kind of crazy to me is that they're even in the mix. Michael and I were talking about the Clippers, and this was pregame, and I'm, you know, trying to kind of assess, okay, where are the Clippers in the Western Conference? I think everybody agrees the Rondo move was the right move, but I still have difficulty. If you said right now, late or Clippers and the Nuggets in a 7-game set, I think I'd still take Denver. If you said Clippers and the Utah Jazz in a 7-game set, that's a tough series. I mean, that's a really, really good series. But I guess the hesitation with the Clippers comes down to this. Until they do something in the postseason, why would you trust or believe them that this is going to be different this year than it has been in the past? Good roster. You know, it's not like they got everything that you need. You got a couple stars led by Kawhi. You have bench players that understand, or you have role players that understand their role. They have some champions. Kawhi's a champion. Rondo's a champion. Ty Lue has won a championship. Serge Ibaka, Chauncey Billups is on the sidelines there as well. They have all that. But I still feel like something's missing. And I can't, you know, I can't put my finger to it, but maybe that just comes down to you've watched them and you've thought. I mean, last season, everybody thought Lakers, Clippers. Those are the two teams. They're going to face each other in Western Conference Finals. It's inevitable. This year, they might face each other in the first round. And I don't say that loosely. If Portland surpasses the Lakers, Lakers would be in sixth, Clippers would be in third. That would literally be the first round matchup, would be the Lakers and the Clippers. So we'll see how things play out, what happens here over the next month plus before the regular season ends. But I don't feel like I'm learning that much yet about the Clippers, and I don't think that's going to happen until postseason comes. And I think we obviously still got to find out more about the Lakers as Andre Drummond addition and so forth. 104-86, the final score. Lakers lose to the Clippers. When we come back, we'll hear from Kyle Kuzma. If you guys want to be a part of the postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Batum saves it from going out of bounds. Patrick Patterson takes it to the rim. It's blocked by Talen Horton-Tucker. KCP grabs it. Here comes Kuzma. Back to Caruso. Down the middle to Harrell. Puts it up and in. 75-55. Lakers down by 20.
Those were the two best players for the Lakers in this afternoon's game. Montrezl Harrell and Talen Horton-Tucker. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance. And only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers lose 104-86, the final score. I think there's a couple things here to kind of look at it from a small picture and a big picture for the Lakers. Small picture is, yes, another loss to the Clippers. Big picture, it won't mean much because until the Lakers get healthy and get all their players back, this is probably how it's going to be against elite teams like this. When I say elite, what I'm referring to is there's 5-6 teams in both conferences that think they have a chance to come out of the West and the East. Clippers are one of those teams. You'll have some matchups where you'll be in games, but if Clippers, a team like the Clippers, they're interested, they're paying attention, they're not taking their opponent for granted, then they'll obviously find a way to win. Let me squeeze in one quick call before we go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Jeremiah listening on the ESPN app in Sacramento. What's going on, Jeremiah?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Jeremiah? All right, we lost Jeremiah. Let's go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Let's get his thoughts on the game. I do think I do think in a game like this, I always have a curiosity to get coaches. Opinion, perspective. Did he like the energy? Did he like the way the team was playing? Was this just one of those games that they're not hitting shots? Here's Lakers coach Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, what'd you make of the offensive struggles tonight? What'd you think, or today? What'd you think was the biggest thing?
Yeah, credit to Clippers defense. You know, they got up into us and we didn't handle our pressure well enough at all. And when we did, we had a tough shooting night. Tough shooting night at the rim. Missed 9 layups, 21 shots in the paint. And, tough shooting night at the three-point line as well. So, we just got to play through their pressure and physicality more, better than we did tonight. We'll get back to the drawing board tomorrow, look at the film, and improve for next game.
Frank, what's the outlook as you now go on this five-game trip, longest one in a bit? What are the things that you think you guys have to bring together collectively to get what you want out of it?
Well, we got to play with the poise and composure that we played with in Sacramento offensively. And, the shots get a little more easy, a little more confident, and, continue to defend. We defended well enough to win a game tonight, today, I should say. But we got to improve with our offensive execution.
Go to Kyle.
Hey, Frank. You just have so many guys playing bigger minutes, bigger roles than they're used to, especially since you were saying earlier it might be a while before guys like AD and Bron get back. Are there strategies you think of to try and avoid giving those guys some burnout and maybe easing some of the mental fatigue they might be feeling?
No, there's no excuses here. The guys that are playing have what it takes to get the job done. It's that simple.
Dave?
Frank, how do you look at this upcoming road trip? I know you like to stay in the moment and you're going to have the first game of the road trip and maybe not assess it all five in a row, but where you guys stand kind of being up and down and being undermanned and heading out the road for a while.
Yeah, it's just one game at a time. We got to beat the Raptors. You know, that's what it comes down to. We'll do our work. We'll compete and see what happened in this game, break down the film, improve from it, and put together a plan to beat the Raptors and take it one game at a time.
Dan Wojcicki. Hey, Frank, are you guys to the point now where you're looking at standings and trying to figure out, and I know it's 20 games left, 20 some odd games left, but looking at that and then also kind of looking at the guys you don't have, how independent are those two things, I guess, moving forward, the standings and any decisions in relation to those guys?
Yeah, we're really staying in the moment. I know we had an opportunity to pass the Clippers with a win today. Disappointed we didn't get that done. But other than that, we're not looking at standings at all. Just looking at winning the next game.
All right, let's take one more. Let's go to Leonardo.
Coach, it's Leonardo Torres from Peru. Hope you're well. Coach, what are your thoughts on Marc Gasol? What role will he play in the team?
Yeah, Mark's a winner. And, he fits what we're trying to do. He's dominating on the defensive end and offensively with his passing. And we got a lot of guys that can score the basketball. So his ability to facilitate offensively is something that's really helped us have success on the floor.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. You know, it's funny, he says something right there. Lakers lose 104-86. He mentioned something about Lakers having a chance. If they had won tonight or this afternoon's game, they'd have a chance to surpass the Clippers for third place in the Western Conference. Kind of crazy that they're even that close. And I know I've spent some time talking about it from a standings perspective, but Lakers are going to keep falling. That's just the reality of the situation, what the schedule looks like, and the injuries. But what's kind of crazy to me is that they're even in the mix. Michael and I were talking about the Clippers, and this was pregame, and I'm trying to kind of assess, okay, where are the Clippers in the Western Conference? I think everybody agrees the Rondo move was the right move, but I still have difficulty. If you said right now, Clippers and the Nuggets in a 7-game set, I think I'd still take Denver. If you said Clippers and the Utah Jazz in a 7-game set, that's a tough series. I mean, that's a really, really good series. But I guess the hesitation with the Clippers comes down to this. Until they do something in the postseason, why would you trust or believe them that this is going to be different this year than it has been in the past? Good roster. It's not like they got everything that you need You got a couple stars led by Kawhi. You have bench players that understand, or you have role players that understand their role. They have some champions. Kawhi's a champion. Rondo's a champion. Ty Lue has won a championship. Serge Ibaka, Chauncey Billups is on the sidelines there as well. They have all that. But I still feel like something's missing. And I can't put my finger to it, but maybe that just comes down to you've watched them and you've thought. I mean, last season, everybody thought Lakers, Clippers. Those are the two teams. They're going to face each other in Western Conference Finals. It's inevitable. This year, they might face each other in the first round. And I don't say that loosely. If Portland surpasses the Lakers, Lakers would be in sixth, Clippers would be in third. That would literally be the first round matchup, would be the Lakers and the Clippers. So we'll see how things play out, what happens here over the next month plus before the regular season ends. But I don't feel like I'm learning that much yet about the Clippers, and I don't think that's going to happen until postseason comes. And I think we obviously still got to find out more about the Lakers as Andre Drummond addition and so forth. 104-86, the final score. Lakers lose to the Clippers. When we come back, we'll hear from Kyle Kuzma. If you guys want to be a part of the postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
104-86, the final score. Lakers lose to the Clippers, 31-19 on the season. Fifth place in the Western Conference. Denver surpasses the Lakers. Portland right on the Lakers' heels. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call here. Ray in L.A. Ray, what's going on?
Hello. Yes, I was wanted to comment on two quick things. I didn't see the Lakers lost today. What I was listening to on the radio. Mm-hmm. I don't expect them to beat a top team in the West. It's not the loss; it's how you lose. The Lakers' inconsistency offensively, particularly with their shooting, just seems to have been a problem that has been nagging the Lakers. Honestly, I think even through their championship season, and that's something I think they really have to try to, you know, fix.
Ray can't argue that. You're right. It has been inconsistent. That's the unfortunate part is Lakers don't have many weaknesses. You do worry a little bit about their 3-point line. What's the other point you wanted to make?
Well, the other thing was I was just concerned about when the Gasol trade was announced. Mm-hmm. I never clearly understood what was the goal there. The Laker front court, in my opinion, was quite, you know, delivered. To be honest, I didn't understand what was the goal for tinkering with the front court. I didn't quite understand the value in bringing Gasol in, particularly if they were able to retain JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, and they could bring in someone like Trez without moving them. I didn't understand what was the goal there, because it doesn't seem to have panned out, and it was a concern for me early on.
Well, I'll say this, Ray, and I appreciate you tuning into the postgame show. Here's the reality. I heard Laker fans talk about it all season long that kind of a similar point. You know, why'd you mess with that front court? If it's not broke, why try to fix it? I think the front court right now with Andre Drummond, of course, Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol, Montrezl Harrell, I don't know what else you want the Lakers to do. And now this is the roster that you have for this championship run that you're going to expect these guys to deliver. Marc Gasol was expressing his frustration, and he's going to become Plan B, Plan C, Plan D. He doesn't even know as the season progresses. Now with Andre Drummond, Andre Drummond was a huge pickup. Yes, I'm sitting here. Andre Drummond's missed two games in a row, only played 14 minutes in that opening game, his debut on Wednesday, I think it was, against the Bucks. So I can't really represent what I'm referring to until the season progresses, but I think that front court is going to be just fine. I think it's going to handle. It's going to be a huge problem for a lot of teams out there once everybody comes back, and we'll see when that is. Let me give a quick little preview here to the Lakers and the Raptors. So this game coming up on Tuesday, Raptors 19-30 on the season. They do have one game left before they do play the Lakers. It does not appear like it's that talented of a team, 19-30. I think they just beat the Warriors. Granted, it was without Steph Curry, without Draymond Green. At one point, they were up 60 against the Warriors. Michael and I were doing a pregame show on Friday, and we kept looking back at that score. So keeping that in mind, Lakers-Raptors preview, it's not going to be a walk in the park. They still obviously got some good talent. Pascal Siakam's a nice player, 20 points a game, around 7 rebounds. Kyle Lowry, one of the best vets in the NBA, 17 points, 7 assists and 5 rebounds. Fred VanVleet's a nice player. I mean, hell, Kyle Lowry seemed like for a second there might even become a Los Angeles Laker. So Lakers got this game coming up on Tuesday. This is the type of game they have a chance to win. Maybe against these teams like the Clippers and the Bucks. Brooklyn coming up here pretty soon. We'll see what the health is of Kevin Durant and James Harden if those two guys play. Those are the ones that you're not exactly expecting to win. But a game like Tuesday, yeah, you got a shot. And you got to kind of stay in the thick of the Western Conference here. Lakers lose 104-86, 31-19 on the season. Make sure to tune in tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. Appreciate everybody for being a part of the broadcast. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.